It's recording.
Okay, thank you. Okay, my name is Sonny Papowski. I'm the chairman of the Philadelphia Water, Sewer, and Stormwater Rate Board. I'd like to call this meeting to order. We have all five members of the board present. I'd like to start the agenda by asking our secretary, Abby, if you could introduce the minutes from our May 11th meeting.
Yeah, I've reviewed the minutes and I know everyone's seen a copy of the minutes. And if there are no further issues, I'd like to make a motion that they be adopted.
Second.
Okay, second, moved by Abby, seconded by Tony. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. The minutes have been approved 5-0. Now, because this is a meeting where we will be voting, we would take any public comments at this point of the meeting. I did receive a written comment from Mr. Skangelowski. He had previously contacted me and I notified members of the board that he would like to make a public statement. I told him that we do take public statements at the meeting, but then he said he would not be able to attend and he asked if he could do a written statement. He did send a written statement to me with copies to all the members of the board. This afternoon, it's a three-page document. He asked if it could be included in the notes of the meeting as if read and posted on, attached to our minutes. I think it's a reasonable request and I would move that we attach Mr. Skangelowski's written comments to the minutes or attach them and post them on the website along with the minutes and notes of our meeting today. I'll make the motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thanks. Any discussion on that question? Okay, no further discussion. Could I ask for a vote on that? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? I'm not opposed. So this letter will be attached and posted on the website. Are there any other? So Stephen, you'll take care of that, I assume. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to make any comments before we begin our substantive discussions of the two matters that are before the board? Okay, hearing none, the main order of business for us today we will do polling on the TAP-R proceeding and the special rate proceeding that have been ably brought before us by our hearing officer, Ms. Chestnut. We'll start with and I have distributed to the members of the board polling sheets that you can follow, which we will use for our preliminary votes. We will not vote on final orders until those orders are written. With the hope that will be based on our polling of today. Hopefully we reach a resolution on all the issues. And based on that polling, we would prepare a final order in time for the meeting that we had tentatively scheduled for next Wednesday. And I would like to confirm that we will be able to have a meeting next Wednesday, the 15th at 3 p.m. And Stephen, you'll make sure that gets posted and adequately
noticed. It will be published in the paper. It should be published in the paper today, actually.
Okay, great. And so just let folks know that we will be meeting assuming we can get the order drafted, the two orders drafted in time on the 15th. Thanks, Marcy. Anyway, the first order of business is the TAP-R proceeding. The TAP-R is a rider which was established in, I think it was the 2016, maybe it was the 2018 rate proceeding, 2018 rate proceeding to recover costs of the TAP rate between major, on an annual basis. Basically, it allows the department to recover the cost of the TAP program, that is primarily lost revenues, based on how many customers participated in the prior year and an estimate of people participating in the upcoming year. There was a proposed a joint petition for settlement filed by the public advocate and the water department. The hearing officer recommended to approve that settlement. So our first recommendation from the hearing report is the rate board should approve the joint petition for settlement without modification and find that the modified TAP-R rates are supported by the record and are just and reasonable. Exceptions were filed by one of the participants in the proceeding, Mr. Haber. Mr. Haber stated in his exceptions that the settlement is not in the public interest and should be rejected because the TAP-R surcharge represents an improper tax. The notice of the TAP-R rate increase provided the public was inadequate. The public advocate had undisclosed conflicts of interest and provided inadequate and ineffective representation. The hearing officer was biased and acted prejudicially by inter alia permitting the public advocate to file an exhibit after the close of the hearing. We could take a, let's, if there's any discussion first, whether or not to approve the hearing officer's recommendation to approve the settlement or to, and to deny the exceptions filed by Mr. Haber. Can I ask if there's any discussion by the members of the board on any of those issues? Mac? Mr. Williams, yes.
Oh, thanks, Sonny. So let me make sure I understand it. So we're going to make two decisions, one on the joint settlement, and then we'll also make a decision on the exception that was filed by Mr. Haber.
Yeah, technically it's one decision. That is, if you accept the recommendation, then you are denying the exceptions. So maybe I should have been a little clearer, but it's in effect, I should make it clearer and ask if there's a vote at this time. We can make a vote to accept the recommendation and to deny the exceptions. So with that, is there any further discussion of the TAP-R matters? Okay, hearing none, I would go ahead and ask Stephen to record our votes. I would vote to accept the hearing report and to deny the exceptions of Mr. Haber. Mr. Ewing, can you give us your vote?
Yes. Yes, I also vote to accept the hearing report, the hearing examiner's report recommendation.
Okay, Ms. Pozefsky?
Yes, that is also my vote.
Mr. Williams?
Yes, I vote to accept the hearing report and recommendations.
Okay, Ms. McCarty?
Yes, I vote to accept the hearing officer's report and reject the exceptions.
Okay, and the second recommendation is almost a restatement of the first, but it's just to approve the rates that were authorized in the recommendation. So the rate board, the second recommendation is the rate board should authorize the water department to file revised TAP R rates and charges as contained in the Joint Settlement Petition Exhibit 1, as set forth in Table 1 for service rendered on and after September 1, 2022. I think that Mr. Haber's exceptions would apply equally to that recommendation. So is there any discussion on that recommendation? In that case, I would vote to accept the recommendation of the hearing officer. Tony?
I also vote to accept and approve the hearing examiner's recommendation.
Okay, Abby?
My vote is also a yes.
Mac?
My vote is yes to approve the recommendation of the hearing officer.
Okay, and Deb?
I vote yes to approve the hearing officer's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. That is concludes the polling on the TAP rider proceeding. We will prepare a draft order that will be reviewed individually by the members of the board prior to our next meeting, at which time I hope we will be able to vote on a final order in the TAP R proceeding. Okay, let me turn to a somewhat more complex case, which is the special rate proceeding. This case arises out of a joint settlement petition that was filed by the public advocate and the water department in the last rate proceeding in 2021, the base rate proceeding, and that settlement was approved by the board. It was not a complete settlement of that proceeding, however, it left open essentially two issues regarding whether both of which would affect the rates that would be going into effect on September 1, 2022 for fiscal year 2023, specifically whether there would be, could be a reduction in the rate increase that we approved in that case, which was for $34 million in additional revenue for fiscal year 2023, or whether that rate increase could be reduced by an amount for one of two reasons. One is that either the water department had been able to receive a certain federal stimulus funding during a specified period, which I believe was July 1, 2021 to December 31, 2021. And the second is whether there could be a rate reduction to the extent that at the end of fiscal year 2021, the department's balance of its rate stabilization fund exceeded a minimum threshold. The term minimum threshold was left undefined by the parties. They could not agree, or they did not agree on what that minimum threshold should be, nor did they agree on what level of sharing there should be if the department did achieve results that were higher than that minimum threshold. So those are the issues. I'll go through the hearing report recommendations and the exceptions to those recommendations for our discussion. The first recommendation is that the condition in the joint settlement petition regarding the receipt of federal stimulus funding has not been satisfied, thereby warranting no reduction to the fiscal year 2023 base rate incremental increase. On that point, there was no conflict between the department and the public advocate. There was essentially agreement that leg of the settlement stool was not met, and therefore there would be no reduction as a result of federal stimulus funding during that 6-month period. There was an exception filed by Mr. Haber, however, who stated that the water department failed to make a good faith effort to obtain stimulus funding in order to obviate the need for a rate increase. Is there any discussion on that issue before we take our polling on that issue. I would just note that there was testimony by Ms. Labuda regarding the efforts that were made by the department. We've received monthly reports from the department about efforts, ongoing efforts to obtain federal funding. I hope, by the way, Andre, that those efforts continue.
Absolutely. As
it would be in everyone's interest to the extent that the department can receive funding that could help to reduce future rate increases. But nevertheless, it seemed to me that the department met their obligation to make a good faith effort to receive that funding, but did not. So I would vote to approve that condition. I mean, I vote to approve that recommendation and to deny the exception on that point. So Tony, do you have anything to add or vote on that?
Yes, I have a quick question, if I may. Sure. Just briefly, can you summarize what the response from the city has been in terms of the department's efforts to procure those funds?
Yes. Ms. Labuda did file testimony identifying the, you know, specifying the steps that they had taken with the city, with the city council, with the federal government. We have received, we also have received a monthly report from the department, which specifies those activities. And the narrow point here is that the in order to qualify for this reduction, money had to be obtained within that 6-month period from July 1, 2021 to December 31, 2021. And there was no receipt of funds during that period.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for that. Just wanted that clarification. So to answer the question, I too vote to accept the hearing report recommendation and deny the exception.
Okay, Abby?
Yeah, I also vote to accept the recommendation, and it's clearly in the water department's best interest to continue to make those good faith efforts that they've clearly been making. So I applaud the water department's efforts. I really hope that there's some additional money, but it's not relevant for this particular portion of the proceeding.
Okay, Mac?
I vote yes to accept the recommendations of the hearing officer's report.
And Deb?
And I also vote to approve the hearing officer's recommendations and deny the exception. And I'll add also that when I looked at the most recent report submitted by the Water Department, I was impressed by the number of requests for loans and assistance. And they've really apparently done a lot to get some PennVest loans, which are very low interest, and that helps the ratepayers.
Yeah, I would agree with that point, which is that in addition to the federal funds, there are state, what are called PennVest funds available. They're not grants, they're loans, but they're very low interest loans. I think 1% interest usually, and it appears that the department has had some greater success in the recent period in obtaining those 1% PennVest loans. And that, again, I would urge the department to continue to pursue that avenue. Okay, now the next set of recommendations, we'll take separate votes, but I'd like to go through the issues together just because they are there is an interplay among the issues. So second, third, and fourth recommendations all go to this issue of regarding the condition, what we'll call the condition for financial performance. That is whether the department in fiscal year 2021, whether the rate stabilization fund exceeded the minimum threshold, which again we had was not defined, and if so, whether there was a whether there should be a sharing of the amount by which the department exceeded the threshold. The hearing officer found that the condition in the joint settlement for financial performance as measured by the rate stabilization fund balance has been satisfied. That is, the amount that the department achieved in rate stabilization funding at the end of 2021 did in fact exceed what she concluded was the appropriate minimum threshold. She found that she agreed with the, as to what the minimum threshold should be, she agreed with the position of the public advocate that the minimum threshold should be 114 million, which was, or 113.3988 million, which was the amount that was referenced in the settlement of the last proceeding at the end of the case for the rate stabilization fund, and was included in our order, that number, the that table. And that compares to what the department actually achieved, which was $124.7 million in rate stabilization fund as of the end of 2021 fiscal year. The department filed exceptions, arguing that in fact the department had not exceeded the minimum threshold, because in their view the minimum threshold should be the $135 million, which was the target for the rate stabilization fund that was adopted by the rate board in the rate proceeding in 2018, when we set forth in that order certain financial targets for future planning purposes for the department. The department argues that any amount below 135 should not be accepted as meeting the minimum threshold. They said, however, and this is important, I think, that if a lower financial performance measure is adopted for the purpose of this proceeding, that the board should clarify that it is not changing the $135 million target for the rate stabilization fund balance over time. So that is, if, for example, we agree that the hearing officer, in fact, the hearing officer noted that while she was using the 114 million for the minimum threshold in this proceeding, it was only for the purpose of this proceeding, only for the purpose of calculating the amount of money that could be up for sharing. So we'll address that as well. Then the hearing officer noted that the difference between 124.7 and 114 is $10.7 million. That was the amount that by which the department exceeded her proposed minimum threshold. The public advocate argued that that amount should form the basis for sharing, and that at a minimum, the department should reduce its rates by 5.35 million, half of the 10.7. But their preferred approach was that it should be reduced by 6.6 million, which also reflected the fact that the department performance was better in certain other aspects, including in what's called the residual fund. That justified, in the public advocate's view, an amount of sharing which was greater than the 50% sharing of the 10.7 million. The department continued to maintain that there should be no reduction in the rate increase, and in particular noted that concerns expressed by the rating agencies, one in particular, that if the department's rate stabilization fund fell below $120 million, it could result in a downgrading of the department's bonds, which would result in much higher cost to customers over time. The hearing officer recommended that, or concluded that the public advocate's request for 5.35 to 6.6 million reduction was excessive, too great a risk of a downgrading, but recognized that the board did acknowledge that they had agreed to the department to the fact that there could be a sharing, and she concluded that if a sharing is ordered, it should be no more than $3 million. It could be as low as zero, but could be should be no more than $3 million given the risk of downgrades from the by the rating agencies if rates in 2023 were lowered by too great of an amount. Now let me add that, and I'll include Mr. Haber's exceptions at this point. Overall, he argued that due to the lack of adequate notice, prejudicial actions by the hearing officer, inadequate representation by the public advocate, and PWD's failure to make its best efforts to obviate the need for a rate increase, that the hearing officer's report should be rejected, the settlement agreement should be set aside, and the base rate increase should be rescinded. Now, perhaps we could start with Mr. Haber's exceptions, and I will ask for a vote on whether or not to grant any of Mr. Haber's exceptions to the hearing officer's recommendations in this proceeding regarding lack of notice, prejudicial action by the hearing officer, inadequate representation by the public advocate, and again, the failure of PWD to make its best efforts to obviate the rate increase. Is there any discussion on any of Mr. Haber's exceptions? Okay. I would just add that particularly with respect to the public advocate and the hearing officer, I think there's no question that the public advocate has represented the interests of the public zealously in these proceedings. I would obviously not accept any exception on that point. And the hearing officer, as we all know, has done a superb job. As we indicated at a prior meeting, she has many years of experience. Her reputation is beyond reproach. And any suggestions that of prejudicial or corrupt activity on the part of the hearing officer are obviously incorrect and unacceptable. Having said that, I would.
Sonny, if I could add, I wasn't able to unmute myself before you started, but I just wanted to basically, I guess, reaffirm what you've just said. And, you know, the public advocate has zealously advocated for their constituents, the particularly low-income ratepayers. And as long as I've known them, and it seems to be no different in this case either. And I'll also add that I was, the hearing officer's report was very good. I just really well thought out and presented quite well. So that's all I wanted to add.
I'd like to add again, because we've been through this, unfortunately, too many times, that these are, these allegations have been made, they've been responded to, they're clearly false, they are really not in the spirit of how these proceedings should work. What is in the spirit of how these proceedings should work is the action of the public advocate, the water department, and the superb actions of Judge Chestnut. So I think we're all pretty much in agreement with that. We've said it before. We'll say it as many times as we need to say it.
Yeah. Any other comments before I ask for a vote on those exceptions? Okay, as I said, I vote to deny the Mr. Haver's exceptions. Tony?
I also vote to deny Mr. Haver's exceptions.
Abby?
Vote to deny the exceptions.
Mac?
I vote to deny the exceptions.
And Deb?
I vote to deny Mr. Haver's exceptions.
And now let me go back then to the polling sheets. Stephen, I hope you're following along here. You've got all the votes recorded. If there's any, please interrupt us, Stephen, if anything's not clear as to how folks are voting for the purposes of the
recording. Well, it's been very clear.
Okay, good. Okay, I'd like to return to what I numbered number two on the board polling sheet for the special rate proceeding. The condition in the joint settlement regarding PWD's FY 2021 financial performance as measured by the Rate Stability Fund balance as of June 30, 2021 has been satisfied. That is the amount that the department actually received or actually achieved in its Rate Stabilization Fund was in excess of the minimum balance or the I think that's my comment on this let me just read the exceptions. The PWD says the condition for financial performance has not been met because the hearing officer should have utilized the $135 million RSF target adopted by the board in its determination in its 2018 general rate determination. And then their second exception is if a lower financial performance measure is adopted for the purpose of this proceeding, the board should clarify that it is not changing the $135 million target for the RSF balance over time. I personally would like to address the second point first. And I would just want to correct, at least in my opinion, clarify and make it clear that any ruling we make as to the rate stabilization fund that we would use for purposes of determining any rate reduction in the rate increase in this case is solely for the purpose of making that rate determination in this case and does not in any way affect the board's prior determinations, prior findings, or future findings as to what the rate stabilization fund should be. So there should be no, and I think we should make this clear in the order as well, that this is not a determination, and that we are not making a determination in, or changing in any way the $135 million target that was adopted in the 2018 rate proceeding. Is there any, Deb, you have a comment?
I think that's a very important point. And I just want to add that I think the board also needs to be open to that 135 potentially increasing in the future as money, what you can buy is not as much as what you can buy with 135 right now. So just recognizing that, it could change in the future, but I think that it is important to be clear that the 135, this should not impact that at all.
Any other comments on that point?
I'm in agreement with that as long as it's crystal clear that it's a limited purpose, a one-time exception, and that it can get revisited again in another rate determination, but this is not the place for it.
Okay, any other comments? So to that extent, I would grant the Water Department's exception requesting a clarification on that point, although technically I think that point was clear in the hearing officer's report as well. But just to be clear, I would vote to adopt the Water Department's exception that we clarify again that the any adoption of a lower financial performance measure for purposes of determining a sharing in this proceeding does not in any way affect the $135 million target for the RSF balance over time. So I would vote yes on that point. If you follow all that, Tony, how would you?
Yep. I follow. Thank you. Yes, and I too would vote to accept the hearing examiner's report that the condition for financial performance has been met, but also with the specificity that that threshold is limited to this particular proceeding.
Okay, thanks. Abby?
Yes, as to both of those.
Okay. Mac?
I vote yes. As to accepting the exception that was discussed by in the hearing officer's report.
Okay. Deb?
I vote yes to accept the Water Department's exception about the financial performance.
Okay. Just stepping back then, the first exception, and I think Tony, you may have already voted on this, but and Abby, but the Water Department requests that the argues that the condition for financial performance has not been met because the hearing officer should have utilized the $135 million RSF target adopted by the board in its 2018 general rate determination. For a number of reasons, if I could speak on this, I agree that that's not the appropriate standard for this, for the purposes of this case. If I look at what the department actually asked for in the last case, it was on the order in 2021, 2022, 2022, it was more in the order of 110 million in the RSF. That's what they put in their, exhibits. And that the use of 135 million, while it is beneficial as can be used as a target, I think it was made clear in the last case in the department's testimony that they were not trying to reach 135 in that case and that they recognized that they were below 135. And I think that the 114 is actually the highest number in the case that I think could be utilized. So I think it's a reasonable number. So I would deny the department's exception on this point. And I would adopt the hearing officer's determination that the condition, the 124 million, does meet the rate stability fund balance at the end of 2021 does meet the requirements or is above the minimum threshold. So again, Tony, could I just get your vote on that point?
Yes, I vote to deny the Water Department's exception on the $135 million RSF target.
Okay. Abby?
Yes, agreed with Tony.
Mac?
Yes, I agree with Tony.
Deb?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Okay, and then just as sort of a corollary to that is hearing report recommendation number 3 on the polling sheet, which is, I think we pretty clearly stated it, but in any case, the hearing report recommends that the minimum threshold for potential sharing of the better than projected financial performance, the threshold should be set at $113.988 million for this limited special rate proceeding. Again, the Water Department objects to the use of that number, which came from Table C1 in the 2021 settlement. They opposed, they said that that's an inappropriate use of that number. And they would again continue to use the $135 million. Any discussion on that point?
Okay. Question. So you mentioned that $120 million is the benchmark for the bond rating agencies?
It's a good question. That's a good point. I wouldn't call it the benchmark. It is, if you read the, and this became a major issue in the proceeding, if you read the rate agencies reports, which are included in the department's testimony, there is a statement that if the department, if the rate stabilization fund falls below $120 million, then there could be a, that would be possible, could result in a possible downgrading. So it's not a quote, it's not a benchmark, it's a statement in a rating agency report.
I think in Ms. Labuda's testimony, she said it was a downgrade trigger, essentially. But I also add that when you look at, you know, their comparisons of the how Philadelphia compares to other large city utilities, Philadelphia is at the lower end in terms of rating agency rating. I mean, Baltimore City is higher than Philadelphia. Yes, so the 120 was the trigger.
In any case, I would vote to, as I said, that while the department said that 113 or 114 was incorrect, from my reading of the record in that case and all the other numbers that the department put forward in that case were lower than 114. And I think we have to, at least in my opinion, we have to look back and see what were we thinking when we approved the settlement in the last proceeding. At least what I was thinking was if the department did much better than they projected, then there could be a sharing of the rate stabilization fund excess over the amount that was projected in that proceeding. But so I would vote again, comparable to where we were on recommendation number two, I would vote to deny the department's exception and to adopt the minimum threshold recommended by the hearing officer. So I'd vote yes on the hearing officer and deny the exception. Tony?
I also vote to accept the hearing officer's recommendation and deny the exception.
Okay, Abby? You have to unmute.
I'm sorry, I echo that vote, yes.
Mac?
I vote to accept the hearing officer's report.
Okay, Deb?
I vote to accept the hearing officer report and deny the department's exceptions.
Thank you. Okay, the last recommendation number four. Sorry, my cell phone just started talking to me. Hearing report recommendation number four was the recommendation by the hearing officer that the amount, now having found that the standard had been met for a possible sharing, the hearing officer recommended that the amount by which the fiscal year 2023 base rate incremental increase should be reduced to reflect the sharing of the amount by which the 2021 RSF balance exceeded the minimum threshold for financial performance should be no more than $3 million. Here the public, you know, the Philadelphia Water Department again argued that it should be zero. It cannot be up to 3 million. They continue to argue that, that the rate reduction, even if there's a finding that that balance requirement had been met, that the rate reduction should be zero because of the risk of downgrades and other financial harm. The public advocate filed exceptions on this point, arguing that the hearing officer had erred by implicitly placing undue weight on the water department's updated financial outlook, and argues that the hearing officer should have adopted the public advocate's proposed reduction of 5.35 to 6.6 million to the FY 2023 rate increase. I would start on this one. I agree with the hearing officer, again, I agree with the hearing officer's recommendation. I think that there should be a sharing, that that was the point of the settlement, and that the department did exceed the amount that was expected in the rate stabilization fund. But I would also agree with the hearing officer that it should not exceed $3 million, basically because we're cutting it pretty close here. In particular with the threat of a downgrading that could be in the long run more costly than the additional funds. But I think for the reasons set forth by the hearing officer that up to a $3 million reduction could be adopted. And that does, it is sensitive to the department's financial needs, does provide some sharing, not as much as the public advocate recommended, but a reasonable number. So, but first, can we just get a vote on whether or not to adopt the recommendation that the amount be, that we adopt a sharing of no more than 3 million? I would vote yes to that. Tony?
I also vote to accept the hearing report's recommendation of I vote to accept the hearing officer's recommendation at the $3 million cap as well.
Abby?
Yes, I vote yes as well.
Matt?
I vote to accept the hearing officer's report.
And Deb?
I vote to accept the hearing officer's report.
Okay, thanks. Then the final point is just we need to determine what that number should be. For the reasons I just mentioned, I think that $3 million is reasonable. If you just look at the arithmetic, the department achieved 124.7. $3 million off of that would still leave them above 120. I realize that we don't know what the number would be, what the number will be in at the end of fiscal year 2023. It could be higher, it could be lower. But we will have probably have another rate increase or another rate case before the end of fiscal year 2023. If the department believes it needs more money, they're free to file a rate proceeding in February, as I expect they would do, and could they try to make sure that their requested balances are covered and coverage ratios, whatnot. So I would, but I think less than three, I think there has to be a sharing in this case. And I think $3 million is a reasonable compromise. That's where I come down. Tony, yeah. Can I ask you where
Yes. I also concur that the $3 million reduction cap should be adopted. Yes.
And the $3 million reduction should be adopted in the rate increase?
Yes.
Okay. Abby?
Yeah, I agree that it should be a $3 million rate reduction, honoring the process that was so carefully constructed and adhered to by both parties.
Okay, Mac?
I vote yes for a $3 million rate reduction.
Okay, Deb?
And I vote yes. I do agree that I think it's a reasonable compromise. And as Abby said, it honors the process and you know, recognizes the challenges that the department can face this coming fiscal year. But I do believe that the $3 million is a reasonable number. So yes.
Sunny?
Yes.
Is this something that I should be capturing on the polling sheet?
Yes, amount? Now, and I apologize. If you look on the bottom of the polling sheet, Stephen, it says the final determination.
Yeah.
And I'll read that now, and I should have read this before. It says the rate board determines that the FY 2023 rate increase of $34.1 million beginning September 1, 2022, previously set by the board in its June 2021 general rate determination, pursuant to the terms of the joint petition for partial settlement, should, and then the question is, should either remain without reduction or reduced by X million? And uh-huh. It looks like we have five votes that it should be reduced by $3 million.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That's all I have on the polling sheets. Are there any other issues that the board has for these two proceedings? Any other questions or comments regarding the two proceedings?
I have a question. I'd like to get more information from the rating agency on what that trigger is that would cause us to have to increase our that would decrease our bond rating and would increase our cost of borrowing money.
Well, it's in the record of the case, and I think that the it's described in the hearing officer's report. I don't have the page numbers.
And also Sunny, Miss Labuda's testimony, the three rating agency reports are in there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll go to those reports. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Are there any other comments or questions from the board members?
Just to express thanks for everybody involved, from the hearing examiner, the public advocate, the water department, and all the affiliates thereof, and of course the board, for getting us to some resolution here. So just want to express thanks for everyone's efforts in this civic duty.
Thank you. Anyone else? And I would certainly add my thanks, particularly to the hearing officer and to the department and the advocate for getting us through this proceeding, which turned out to be more difficult than we had hoped. In any case, let me ask any other members, anybody else here in attendance or members of the public, if they have any other matters, any other comments or matters to bring before the board.
On behalf of the department, our thanks also to everyone involved. We recognize the work that has to go into all of this, and particularly for our volunteers on the board, that we appreciate your service. We also will probably wait for your order for C-tables to support the special rate proceeding, but let us know so we can have them ready when you want them. consistent with this today's order.
Okay.
Yes, I had, I'd imagine that Mr. Marcus would be putting together the table based on his model. That was my understanding.
We have a different understanding, but I'm sure we can work that out.
Well, I guess, let me just, I mean, I think when we're talking about the rate tables, I think that has to be the department. I mean,
The rates, yeah, the C table is the revenue requirements table, which is the reason why Mr. Marcus's model exists, is to have a revenue requirements table that is not generated by one of the parties.
Okay, he's not
on the
call
right now.
Well, I'll have to talk to, he's not on the call right now, but I'll have to talk to him about preparing the table, though. Should be fairly straightforward. If you reduce a $34 million rate increase by $3 million, I hope, but I know we've had problems in the past, so I take your point.
Thank you. And
I'm hoping we won't have problems this time, and it's a question of just producing it for the board and your consideration, and I think you can take it from there. I think the rates and the C tables ought to line up.
I also want to just thank all of the participants. Well, I want to thank the hearing officer and the department for their concerted efforts in this. And I do hope that since Ed's rate model incorporates the information used in the 2021 settlement table, with the only adjustment being to the balance and the rate stabilization and the residual funds, should not be difficult for him to reduce the projection for 2023 to reflect the $3 million reduction in the rate increase for purposes of having something in the rate determination that is not generated by one of the parties, which I strongly prefer. And I don't think it actually will have any misalignment with the department's table C1, which of course doesn't need to be part of the record in terms of the determination that the rate board makes. It can take the revenue requirements and use them in its model set to make the rate tables without having to produce its own table C1.
So if you indulge me, Sunny and board members, table C1, C1A, C2, C4, and C5 ideally will be attached to your order, similar to the 2021 rate determination. And we would prefer to offer those to you for your consideration. And I think that will assure that these numbers line up. And if as corroboration for any of this, a model prepared by Mr. Marcus would be helpful, I'm sure that would be welcome as well.
And my hope is that they would produce the same results, but we'll take that under advisement as we prepare the final order. Now, obviously, we have until what, September 1st to?
Well, give WRB time to turn the numbers and actually get that out the door. But yeah, we do have time.
Okay.
Andre, how long will it take the department to prepare the numbers? I think it would be helpful if at a minimum Ed could check it and make sure that there's no discrepancy that needs to be looked into, but
that's fine. I think before your next meeting for sure. And I'd like to promise it by, the beginning of next week at the latest. I think we can beat that.
And I think the rates themselves are a matter for the compliance tariff,
right,
as in the 2018 rate determination, where the real process involved here is setting the revenue requirements, then the water department produces its compliance tariff. We can look at the tables beyond the revenue requirements table at that time. I think it should be very straightforward and easy for Ed, and I'd offer to help or have Lafayette help in making sure that Ed's model lines up with whatever the water department wants to use for purposes of its table C1.
Okay, well, I'd still like to be able to put this order out by next Wednesday.
So, and we'll have the information before that for you, Sonny. So,
okay, and I'll talk to Ed.
I think it'd be helpful.
I'll talk to Ed as well immediately because, and Rob, I think you're talking about, I'll check. There was a schedule that he prepared, a one-page schedule based on the 2021.
Yes, he took the numbers from the C1 that was included in the 2021 rate case settlement, and he put those into the model that he had created, and then brought forward the balances from the actuals at the end of fiscal 2021. And you can see how that lines up. It's all in a very simple spreadsheet. That's what we actually used for purposes of our testimony.
Okay.
So I could probably get Lafayette to spit that back out as well, fairly simply.
Okay, well, we can deal with that. But it, like I said, 34 minus 3 is not a hard calculation.
Agreed.
So we should be able to develop rates based on that. Okay, are there any other matters for the board's consideration today? Okay, hearing none, can I ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I think Mac moved and Abby, and thanks again to the members of board for your patience and willingness to take on these issues. And hopefully we will meet again next Wednesday. And hopefully we will have a final orders in place, or final orders for your consideration at that meeting. Okay.
Sunny, thank you for the organized agenda. It makes things a lot easier.
Oh, thank you.
I second that. I thank you for organizing this agenda, Sunny.
Okay. That's what 35 years of doing rate cases will get you. Doesn't get you much else, I can tell you.
Chairmanship.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. I'll call the meeting to a close then at this time. Thank you, and we'll see you again next Wednesday.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye.